Proverbs chapter 3 tonight in our Bible study on the book of Proverbs. We started chapter 3 last week. We read the first, 11 or 12 verses. But chapter 3 is divided up into three sections. The first section is long life is given to us if we will follow the wisdom that God gives us, long life. Like your grandmother of 89 years, long life, because she's learned some wonderful things from the Word of God that she's applied to her life over her lifetime. And then the second section of the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, is what wisdom will bring. What will wisdom bring us? It'll bring us a longer life, and there's some things that he tells us in the first few verses that we really need to apply. But then it'll bring us some things, verses 11 through 26, and we'll read those tonight, and that's what we'll look at. And then the last section of chapter 3 is how to treat other people. Remember, wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view, knowing Him, knowing ourselves and our relationship with Him, how He looks at us, how we should look at Him. And how to treat others. And he actually gets into treating of others in chapter 3, verses 27 through 35. We'll not look at that this week, but we will pick up on that next week. But let's go ahead and start to read tonight now. And I believe we stopped right around verse number 10 last week. So let's start by reading, verse number 9 is where we stopped. Verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and he that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the way of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding he has established the heavens, and by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall life be unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou liest down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. We're going to stop reading there tonight, and then we're going to pray. Father, I ask that you bless now the simple subjects that you have for us, yet greatly profound, we find in the Book of Wisdom about what wisdom will bring. Bless, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We learned some things last week about the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. We learned that God's telling you and I, as we see in verse 11 and also verse number 1, my son. He's talking to us as a father that sits down with his son. He's talking very intimately to us. He's talking very family-like. I always get amazed on how, when I talk to people, how, you know, when they learn about prayer and how they think it's, oh, I've got to be such a prayer, and I've got to say, oh, holy God, oh, great God, how... That's a father and a son, and a son talking with his father. It's a wonderful relationship that God has prepared for us. We learned last week to fear the Lord, but fear doesn't mean to be afraid. That means to honor and respect who he is, what he's done, and how he's provided for us. As a child is to respect their parents. As we definitely learn very quickly in our life, for some reason, to respect our grandparents. It's a very exciting thing when we start to learn to fear the Lord, meaning honor Him, respect Him, admire Him, look to Him. So we see that that's the way He's speaking to us here. We learned that last week that we're to trust in the Lord, not in our own ways. We're supposed to put confidence in the Lord's ways and to do this with all of our heart. We learned in everything we do, we're to acknowledge Him, recognize Him, allow Him to have power and authority over us, and to make it legally binding. Let His Word bind us to do the right thing. As a result, He directs our path, is what He's promised. And of course, in verse number 7, we learn to fear the Lord. And by fearing God, we get health and life to our bones. It extends our life. And then verse number 9, it says, honor the Lord with the substance of thy first fruits and of all the increases, of all thine increases. So God's teaching us to tithe on everything we get, all of our increase, everything we receive. He says we're to give on, we're to tithe 10%. That's 10%. I know we don't like that in America today, but it's a whole lot less than what the government's demanding. Amen. Just the other day, they said that the average American is now, every penny they get is their own. They took all this earning time of this year to pay the taxes that they have to pay. And just this week, we hit on the 15th, I believe it was tax day, where we finally reached the point where we've paid off the taxes that we'll owe this year personally. That's amazing when you think about that. And God asks us just to give a 10% of our increase. That means 10 cents on a dollar. Boy, that's not a whole lot when you think about how much money the government is taking for us. But he says, give. The result is that we'll receive much from God. Look what he says back in chapter 3, in verse number 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. So God's promising that he's going to provide for us. I don't have to worry. If I do what God tells me to do, I don't have to worry. He's going to take care of me. It doesn't say I'm going to be a rich man. Doesn't say I'm going to have the biggest house in the city. It doesn't say I'm going to have a massive bank account. He just says I'm going to take care of you. It'll be there. It's amazing to me all these years how things have just kept going and kept going and kept going. I have a pair of shoes on today. I think they're probably 10 years old. Those lasted a long time. I bought those little plastic cleats, you know, you put it on the bottom of a shoe and then they wore out and I just put new ones on. They should go another 10 years in my personal opinion. I'm just amazed how God causes things to last longer, to go better. Why? Because we give. We tithe. When we tithe and we give of what God gives us, He gives us. We feel filled with plenty. And the presses shall burst out with new wine. So He's saying, not only will I provide for you, I'll provide well for you. Amen? I'm often amazed to sit around my home and look at all the things I have, knowing how little money I've made in my lifetime. And yet I have furniture, I have a television, I have cellular telephones that I can get emails on. I have computers, I have an iPad. I know people that are still saving up to get an iPad and I got one. Amen. I just think about all the wonderful things God has provided for us. Not because we're rich, but because we've given. And He provides for His people. It's never in advance. It's always just on time. And oftentimes it's very comfortable. We live comfortably. We're not wealthy, but we're comfortable. And I thank God for that. All that's a result, I believe, of giving, tithing. Then notice, he says this in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. God's telling you and I here, He's starting to teach us something. He's starting to teach us that if He loves us, He's going to hold us a little bit of accountability. Not only a little bit of accountability, but He's going to cause us to have to question some things we do. He's going to correct us where we're going wrong so we can turn away from that and grab onto the right things. I want that. I don't like it, but I want that. My mom and dad, they chastened me. And they kept me from all sorts of trouble. I can't imagine how bad and how much I would have ruined my life if my parents wouldn't have corrected me. The Bible says to despise not the chastening. Don't cast it off or refuse to accept it, God's chastening. Chastening is just a discipline. Chastening is causing us to recognize that we need to turn a little bit from the direction we're going. It means to judge ourselves. Remember, we learned this back when we learned about the victory of a Christian life, how to have a victorious Christian life, that there's chastening involved, judgment. We have to look at our life so we can say, don't go this way, I need to do that. Most of the trouble we get into is because we don't look at what the results are going to be. We don't say, man, if I do this, it could end up like this. And we don't realize the longevity of the steps that we take. Now, we only have one life. And we can't go back and relive any days. Sometimes I talk to people, and I was talking to some people earlier this week in downtown Cleveland, and they asked me, "So, do you have a life of regret?" I said, "I don't know that I've regret anything in my life, especially since I've been saved." They said, "Well, what about people that have passed away?" I said, "I don't regret anything because I've made sure I've told everybody what I want them to know way before they passed away." And I said, "I learned a long time ago to live my life as if today is my last day. And so if I love you, I'm going to tell you I love you. If I care about you, you're going to know by the end of the day I care about you. I'm not going to let you walk away and not know what I think in my heart towards you. I think every person that comes to our church knows how I care about them. I don't think there's any doubt in people's minds. As a pastor, I love our people. I wish we were more. But I love folks. I love our folks. I would do as much as I could for us. But I'm not going to be a patsy either. But I will help. I will be a blessing. I will encourage. I'll try to do the right thing." And all that takes is character. And that's what God's trying to teach us here. Some character. Where we make some right choices. And this comes in a form of training. That's all He's doing. He's training us just like we train our children. "For the whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth," it says in verse 12. "Even as a father, a son in whom He delighteth." So it's because we delight in our children that we discipline them. Years ago, many, many years ago, I was down in the basement of our home, my mom and dad's house, in Medina, Ohio. And my brother Darryl was down there. And my brother Darryl was telling me about all the things they got away with down there. All the things him and Dean, my brother Dean, they were a lot younger than I was. My wife and I had children by now, and they were in their teenage years. And they were just. And then he said this, "I don't think mom and dad love Dean and I like they love you guys." I said, "What? Look at all the things you get away with. We never could get away with anything. They take you there. They do this for you. They do that with you. We didn't get any of that." He said, "Well, they don't spank us like they spank you." So being the good brother that I am, I went straight upstairs and I told my mom and dad what he said. My dad said, "Oh yeah?" Gave him the beating of his life. My dad said, "Yeah, why do you feel that way, Darryl?" And I actually talked to him about it. And he said, "Because you don't discipline us like you discipline them. Because if you really loved us like you loved them, you'd want us to stay out of trouble too." And my dad said, "Well, I can handle that. We'll fix that for the future." And he did. And honestly, my brother Darryl and my brother Dean now, as adults, know my parents loved them. Why? Because they corrected them. If I don't love somebody, I'm not going to correct them. I'll just let them go. Okay, hey, whatever you want to do. But somebody I love, I see them going into something that's going to hurt them, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to let them know. Because I love them. I don't want to see their life ruined. And that's the same with God. God is telling us here that He loves us. He's speaking to us as a father speaks to a son. "My son," He says in verse 1. In verse 11, "My son," He says. And again, "as a father, the son in whom He delighteth." So God delights in you and I. Then He says in verse 13, "Happy is a man that findeth wisdom." There's some things that wisdom brings us. Number one, it brings us happiness. Happiness. Verse 13 and verse number 18 of chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Verse 18 says, "She," speaking of wisdom, "is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." Did you notice as we read this how peaceful everything was, and how happy everybody was, and how enjoyable things were? And that's the exact opposite of what people would think would happen if they got religion. They think their life's going to become miserable and they can't have nothing. And they can't do anything. Yet God says, listen, when you grab a hold of wisdom, when you look at life from my perspective, and you get to know me, and you get to know your relationship with me, and you get to know how I think of you, and you learn how to treat other people, life becomes wonderful. So He says you'll be happy. Then He says you'll get great gain, treasures, from the world. Look in verse number 14, He says, "For the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and of gain and thereof and fine gold." Look in verse number 15. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her." So everything that we'd like to have, we put it all together. It's nothing compared to what He's going to provide for us through wisdom. Wow, isn't that an amazing statement? Long life, He says in verse 16. "Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. So here again we see riches and honor are there as well. So we learn number one, happiness. We learn number two, gain. Number three, long life. Number four, riches and honor. He says in verse number 16. How about this? Number five, pleasantness and peace. Pleasantness and peace. Verse 17, for her ways are the way of pleasantness, and are the paths, and her paths are peace. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what the world wants? Isn't that what we seek for all the time? You go to somebody that's getting drunk in a bar, you know what they're looking for? Peace. And they're thinking they can get it out of a bottle, and it's not going to come out of a bottle. You look for somebody who gets high all the time, what are they looking for? Satisfaction. They're looking for something to live for, something to die for, something pleasant in life, and they can't find it. And God says, here it is, I've been all the time, right here in wisdom. How about this? A great life, verse 18, a great life. And she shall be a tree of life unto them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. So he tells us then that we can have a great life. A wonderful life. That's what that's referring to. How about this? Number seven, safety. Safety. Wisdom brings safety. Verse 21, My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall thy life be unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. How about that? And the foot shall not stumble. God says you'll have safety. Safety. You know what that safety means? That means when everything else in this world is falling apart, you're not going to have to worry about it. We are living in a very odd day. I really believe that. When I first got saved, everything was wonderful for the Christian. Folks were not attacking the Christian. Now folks attack the Christians. In my lifetime, I've had to start carrying $2 million worth of insurance on me so that people could sue me. For what I preach, that makes no sense at all. For counseling I might give, or some way they may be offended. Isn't that crazy? People sue churches, people sue preachers, people... I remember we started a Christian school, pastors were being arrested for starting Christian education in there. All the fights that we had nationwide that went on, and it's getting worse. Getting worse. And now it's the individual Christian, not the churches anymore, that's under attack. Even our own government is attacking churches. If they can get the Catholic Church to submit to what they want, they know they got the biggest one going. And that means little churches like ours, they could pick off one by one, they won't even care. No fear to them. But God says when all that's happening, if you're walking in wisdom, you don't have to even worry about it. You'll be cared for. He'll take care of us. And all that thing that you worry about safely, it'll be taken care of. Number eight, he gives us security. Number eight, security. Look in verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou shalt lie down, thy sleep shall be sweet. That's security, man. It's like sleeping like a baby. That's what he's saying. Babies just sleep. They don't care. They just sleep. They don't care where they're at. They're sleeping. They don't care if their mouth's open and drooling. They're sleeping. They're having safety and security in their sleep. They're satisfied. And God says, that's how your sleep would be too. When you walk with me in wisdom. In wisdom. So you'll sleep well. Number nine then. We'll sleep well. People look all the time to sleep well. People all the time talk about how they don't sleep good. Don't sleep good, sleep well. Verse 24 promises that. How about this? We'll be fearless. He'll give us fearlessness. He'll give us what? Fearlessness. Verse 25, he says this. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. So wicked are going to be smacked real hard. That's desolation. And when they get smacked real hard, don't worry. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to hurt you. Remember back in the Old Testament days when Moses was trying to lead the people out of Egypt and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go and all these plagues came out? They didn't affect Israel. There wasn't anything to fear. They were safe. God's people are safe. We don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. You want to lock me up? Lock me up. You want to shoot me? Shoot me. Nothing can happen to me that God doesn't want to happen to me. And if it's time for me to be shot and die, good. I get to go to heaven. What's better than that? So you can't scare me with heaven, John R. Rice one time said. And that's true. So we're fearless. How about this? Something the world's always looking for, and we're looking for, and we're telling we need to get all the time. Confidence. We'll be confident. Wisdom brings confidence. Look at what it says in verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. So my confidence is in the Lord, not in me. I don't have to worry about it. He got it. He got it all handled. I don't have to worry. My confidence is in Him and shall keep thy foot from being taken. But what do I have to worry about? He's going to take care of me. When I walk in wisdom. Now, this just isn't carte blanche here. There's a connection to it. There's a one of these days soon, I'm going to preach a if you, then this happens message. If you, then this happens. And this is exactly what he's saying. He says, I'm going to supply these 11 things I just told you about if you walk in wisdom. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you happiness. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you gain. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you long life. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you riches and honor. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you a pleasantness. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you a great life. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you safety. If you walk in wisdom, I'll give you security. If you walk in wisdom, you're going to sleep well at nighttime. No matter what's going on, you're going to sleep. If you walk in wisdom, you'll be fearless. If you walk in wisdom, you'll have confidence because your confidence is not on you, it's in the Lord. And so, he says he'll provide all these things for us when we walk in wisdom. Let's take a look at a few verses one more time, a few things here, and we're done. Let's look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise thereof is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. Did we just not find that out? It's better than that. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. I like the fact that all the paths are peace, not just one part of your life, your whole life. She is a tree of life that to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone that retaineth her, or everyone that retaineth her. All this is wisdom. The Lord, by wisdom, has founded the earth, and by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? Wisdom and understanding. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Remember, these are words that we talked about at the beginning of the study. Words that continue to come up one over and over again. Let me just go over one word, discretion. Remember that one? We see it there. Discretion. That means a plan. A plan. The plan to choose the right or wrong path. That's what discretion is. How do I know the right path? The right plan? By following wisdom. That's looking at life from God's point of view and not our own. I used to like this statement, what would Jesus do? I don't quite like it anymore as much as I like, what does Jesus teach? What does Jesus teach? Because what Jesus did and what Jesus teaches are two little different. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, Jesus came to die. But He came to give me life. And life more abundantly. So then I need to live the life that He has provided for me to live. So if I live like Jesus lived, then I'm walking towards dying for somebody else. Which isn't a bad thing. But if I live like Jesus teaches, then my mind is changed. My life is transformed. I affect many more other people. I was talking to a man this week and he said, Brother Marco, I don't understand why God just doesn't do thus and so for you. And I said, well, he said, if He did, maybe we would have never met. I said, in fact, I know we wouldn't have. And honestly, I think your life is better for meeting me. And he said, I know it's better for meeting you. And I said, and I know my life is better for meeting you. And we would have never spent time together. And he said, I never thought about it that way. And you know, that's the truth. We don't think about things that way. We always want just our way. But you know, when we start looking at life from God's perspective, then there's a blessing at every turn. The guy looked at me and says, you just think of life differently. And I probably do, but I've learned how to think differently from the book of Proverbs. from wisdom. And I need it every day. Because it's so easy for me to forget. And you need it every day. Because it's so easy for you to forget. Father, I thank you for what we've learned now. And I ask,